The Rolling Stone report is headlined, How the Christian Right Helped Foment Insurrection. Think that's provocative? Here's the subhead. Christian right activists inside and outside of government promoted the election fraud lie and claimed God told them to let the church roar. I think we've all seen an encouraging amount of coverage at long last of the pivotal role the theocratic political right has played in legitimizing the outrageous anti-democratic impulses we've all watched play out in our nation's capital. But there were so many warning signs that got ignored leading up to January 6th. Few journalists have the depth of knowledge needed to contextualize these disasters like Sarah Posner, who has tirelessly chronicled the sinister players in the worlds of church and state for decades. So it's a good thing that the Rolling Stone article bears her byline, and it's a very good thing that she is back with us again this week. Sarah, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton. I'm glad to be back with you, but not so glad about the circumstances.
Oh, isn't that the truth? You meticulously make your way through some of the most egregious acts and offenses we endured from the Trump administration, and you remind us how religiously, pun intended, the theocratic right defended and even amplified those acts over and over and over again. So let's start with some examples of that echo chamber.
Well, throughout Trump's presidency, his Christian right and Christian nationalist loyalists supported him no matter what he did that might have led somebody on the outside to believe, how is this a Christian act or how is this a moral act that the president has committed? And they defended him because he was engaged in the same anti-democratic small d project that they were. And this became abundantly apparent in the run-up to January 6th because he had the greatest support in his Stop the Steal election fraud lie from the Christian right. They repeated his lies. They repeated his conspiracy theories. They claimed, you know, they supported legislators who tried to stop the process of counting the votes or tabulating the votes or certifying the election or certifying the Electoral College. And then on January 6th, we saw a lot of Christian rhetoric and iconography and Bibles and praying in the name of Jesus, crosses, Jesus save signs throughout the insurrection. Mm-hmm. And when I did a kind of reconstruction of what happened in the run-up to that in the days and weeks after the election, through January 6th, I found that the Christian right was very involved in mobilizing activists to engage in Stop This, Participate and Stop the Steal rallies and protests, that they partnered with the Stop the Steal organization and featured speakers at rallies who later participated in the siege. And they did this under the auspices of purporting to mimic Joshua's army that brought down the walls of Jericho in the Bible. And that this Joshua's army, this Jericho March, as they called it, was organized by two people who worked for the Trump administration at the Department of Health and Human Services. So I don't know if there's a short way of saying it other than it came from the inside.
Yeah. where do you see the results of this being most entrenched today? Where is the religious right more Trumpy than Trump himself now that he's gone from the White House?
Well, I think that they are still – they're persisting in the idea that the election was stolen. They're persisting in the idea that elections – any election won by a Democrat was stolen or fraudulent. There's been a lot of chatter about how could Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff have won those Senate races in Georgia, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that the upcoming second impeachment trial of Trump is going to bring him back to the center of the political conversation and bring him back to the center of the Christian rights persecution narratives. Mm-hmm. It'll be the new witch hunt hoax thing for them. Mm-hmm. You know, that mm-hmm. their anointed leader was not only wrongfully deprived of his office, but also that he's now being persecuted by his Democratic enemies for something that they believe he did not do. They don't believe that he incited anything. And second of all, they've been fomenting the conspiracy theory that it wasn't actually Trump supporters who invaded the Capitol, but rather Antifa or Black Lives Matter protesters who were posing as Trump supporters in order to malign them.
Sarah, let's look back for a moment. How much of the political zealotry of our time can be traced back to earlier political religious right extremism, like Operation Rescue, where advocating for a cause evolved into a murderous hatred of opponents? To me, this level of dehumanization parallels some of the worst wartime scenarios of modern history, and I find that profoundly troubling.
Well, I think that there's a lot of different facets of the American right that came together on January 6th, some by design and some just by circumstance. And, you know, the anti-abortion movement is one of them. I mean, there's been reporting on people who were at the Capitol who also had experience protesting outside abortion clinics. And we know that a lot of that has turned violent by, like you say, the demonization of the enemy, the perceived justification for murdering a doctor who performs abortions under the perceived claim that, you know, that's going to save babies. I think that there's been a lot of demonization of liberal Christians. There's been a lot of demonization of liberals, and you mix that up with a lot of end times theology and the idea of spiritual warfare that's pounded into the heads of a lot of evangelicals and Pentecostals, that they need to be engaged in spiritual warfare against demonic enemies. And I think this whole cauldron creates a situation where some people, not all people who hear it, can be incited to violence.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, what is the lasting damage that will outlive our thoughts about the administration that can be blamed on the demands of the theocratic enablers?
Well, I think the lasting damage is their assault on reality and the truth. They claim that they believe in the truth of what they say is in the Bible, God's infallible word. But they have been the most significant participant and promoter of Donald Trump's attack on the truth and attack on reality. So they've twisted many of the things that have happened over the course of Trump's presidency into something else, such as, you know, promoting the conspiracy theory that the Russia investigation was a hoax, mm-hmm. or that the first impeachment of Trump was a witch hunt. And now they're already, in the moments after the siege, they were already promoting the conspiracy theory that it wasn't actually MAGA people who participated in it, even though Trump held a rally and told his followers to march to the Capitol and fight like hell. Mm-hmm. Then they're trying to create this alternative reality whereby that wasn't them, and it was really just Antifa or Black Lives Matter protesters who were trying to make Trump look bad. Mm. These kinds of revisionist history, conspiracy theories, whatever you want to call them, have captivated a good chunk of the American population and specifically of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And that's why we see people like Marjorie Taylor Greene gaining this enormous foothold in the party apparatus in the House of Representatives.
Yeah. I don't see any kind of regret, any kind of coming to one's senses on the part of the kind of theocrats that you write about. So is it hyperbolic to say that maybe when we look way back and see what was happening then with the religious right and then what we are now seeing of the religious right, it may be more dangerous now than it's ever been?
Oh, I think that's right. I mean, I do think that there are people who are willing to commit acts of violence in the name of Jesus or in the name of God. And, you know, that's a subset, right? Like that's a smaller number, but the larger number is very willing to believe conspiracy theories and is essentially living in an alternative reality. Mm. And the damage to democracy and to civil society caused by that, caused by the claim that there was some kind of attempt by Trump's enemies to commit these acts of violence, to pin it falsely on Trump supporters. You know, as we've seen throughout history, these kinds of lies are extremely dangerous. They form the underpinning for support for fascist regimes. And I think we're at a very critical juncture in that regard.
Mm-hmm. I worry when the current administration is endlessly libeled as being anti-God. This is more of the kind of crusade rhetoric that brought us to January the 6th. Do you see President Biden being directly in danger?
Well, I mean, hopefully the Secret Service will keep him safe. But I think it's very dangerous, the kind of sort of us and them, good versus evil, God versus Satan rhetoric that is being deployed by the Christian right and has been deployed for decades. But I think now it's at this moment where for 4 years they promoted the idea that Trump was God's anointed leader. And now they've pivoted to God's anointed leader had the election stolen from him. And he has been replaced by this fake Christian who might be a secret communist or socialist or something. Mm-hmm. This is very dangerous, hot rhetoric that, like I said, can incite people to violence, but even without actual physical violence, is like a violent act upon our democracy.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, I urge all of our listeners to take in your excellent article in its entirety. But before we wrap up our conversation, what else do you want to highlight from this piece and the reporting that you did in preparation for writing it?
There was this event on December 12th called the Jericho March, and it featured a lot of religious right leaders and political leaders, people like Mike Flynn, Trump's disgraced national security advisor, Eric Metaxas, the popular author and radio host, Alex Jones, the conspiracist, you know, just this lineup of evangelical and far-right Catholic speakers who spoke in very, violent terms about the election being stolen and what Christians needed to do and that the deep state was against them and they were going to be like Joshua's army and bring down the walls of Jericho. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it got a little bit of coverage in real time, but it was mostly coverage that was like, wow, look how wacky these people are who think that they're going to like encircle Washington like Joshua's army encircled Jericho. Just sort of focusing on the weird attempt at this analogy. And then when you look at it in hindsight, sometimes in hindsight, things make a little bit more sense or come into view a little bit more clearly. And I think it shows you just how seriously a lot of people take those kinds of analogies, and also just how much a lot of Christian right leadership are willing to make alliances with these far right groups in support of Trump, people like Alex Jones, people like Stuart Rhodes, who was one of the founders of the Oath Keepers, spoke at that event. Ali Alexander, who was the leader of the Stop the Steal movement. So, you know, if the insurrection hadn't happened, this event would probably never really be specifically remembered, the Jericho March on December 12th. But when you look at it in hindsight, it looks, you know, right. It correctly looks quite ominous.
Sarah, what should every American of goodwill be doing right now to ensure that we don't see a resurgent political religious right reemerge even more powerful and destructive?
Well, I think it's very important for people to vote, for people to think about supporting candidates well before elections, to support organizations that organize voters and get voters registered to vote, and sort of building up that kind of infrastructure. What we saw happen in Georgia, for example, where that kind of organizing helped not only elect Joe Biden, but elect Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, despite anti-Semitic, racist, and false attacks on them. It's really a tribute to the organizers in Georgia and what a fantastic job they did. And so all is not lost. You know, if a state like Georgia, you know, can turn blue and, you know, defeat that kind of racist Christianist attacks on people, candidates like Ossoff and Warnock, then, you know, these are the sorts of that's the sort of work that's worth investing in to save our democracy.
Sarah Posner is an award-winning investigative journalist and the author of two essential books on the American religious right, most recently of Unholy: Why White Evangelical Worship at the Altar of Donald Trump. A sought-after commentator and analyst, Sarah is a reporting fellow at Type Investigations. Her recent Rolling Stone article is titled "Capital Riot: How the Christian Right Helped Foment Insurrection," and we'll link to that from stateofbelief.com. Thank you again for being with us on State of Belief Radio.
Well, it's always absolutely my honor and privilege, Welton.